Thanks, Chris. So Gian Rooney will join me a few times next week after the main events at the Australian Swimming Championships, the 100 metres women's final on night one, the men's on night two in particular. Channel 7's coverage, so every night on 7.2 from 8.30pm and the heats live streamed every morning from 10.30 on 7+. Now, this is one of my passions is how this all shapes up heading towards an Olympic year next year. So we'll stay reasonably close to that. A few of your messages are like this. Jared, how good is Gian Rooney? Hopefully she can be a regular on your show and you can call the segment Have a Yarn with Gian. She's brilliant. That's from Block in Ringwood. Like Nick, Ariane Titmus is a Tassie girl and we won't be letting Queensland claim her. That's from David in Tassie. To Nick, Roo says run off Nat Fyfe. That's what he wants, isn't it? Because he will hurt you on the way back. So run off him at your peril. That's from Ian in Surrey Hills. Lee in Freo sent through, I can't believe Ross mentioned the Bell Tower Times, a truly WA-centric paper. Check it out. It will make your day. BC has text through, I think it's been a plan for a long time for the elite players to not run defensively. They back their defensive systems to win the ball back and use the free elite player on the rebounds. On the film that's been released at AFL.com from last year's grand final, listened to that and cried like Licker and Mick in 02. Haunting yet beautiful. Thanks. Andy from Frankston has sent through, what a great statesman for the game of AFL among all the duds we have to put up with. Nathan Buckley is a shining light. Great words for life. And Sam texts through, Jared, don't forget that WrestleMania is on Monday. I won't forget, Sam, on Tuesday. All those who have been texting, we'll have a little play for half an hour or so. Bob Murphy's in the studio. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Jared.
So we asked you to watch the film as well on your way in.
Why, Jared? I bounced in this morning. I've already been to the gym, had my coffee, and bouncing, ready for round three. Oh, just quickly go and watch this video and just see what you think. Okay, sounds good. Got the headphones on. You know how people describe the food coma when you overeat and then you need to lie down afterwards just to let you. I feel like you've done that to me, but in a mental capacity. It's a 14-minute video, and I feel like I need to lie down. There's a lot. It's inspiring. It's painful. It's a great short film because it captures what footy is, and that's everything.
So what hits you?
The most memorable thing is the silence of Nathan Buckley as they lose.
Yep.
The head in the hands and you can only imagine what's going through his mind. He's trying to calm himself. But I often wonder, so people think I'm a fool for, you know, using emotive language to describe football and what it's like on the inside of a football club. But when you get to that pointy end of the year, the technical speak is there. The footy, the balance of footy is the tactics and the planning and the style. But when it gets to three-quarter time, grand final day, there are words, head, heart, gut, love, trust. No mention of kicking efficiency or webs or anything like that, Jared. Interesting.
It's not analytics.
Nope. The intangibles.
Now, so can you link that back to 16 and that day? So it takes Nick Revolt straight back to 09 and 10. Does it take you back to that day?
It reminds you of how tight-knit you are at that point. So sides at the moment, round three, they're building and connecting and they're trying to find rhythm and all of those sorts of things. When you go deep into the finals, the tight knit gang that your club becomes is very, very small and very strong, and that's what comes through, and that's what it reminded me of. That it reminded me of just they're like two big gangs.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's the grand final film that was posted this morning at AFL.com. It's got the inner sanctum voices of Nathan Buckley and Adam Simpson at all of the breaks from the box during it. It's the best glimpse we've had since the lips of Lethal all those years ago. It's 15 minutes well spent. We might play another clip of it shortly. So Bob Murphy in the studio for Barista Made Coffee from McCafe, available 24/7. I'm pretty sure your narrative was, it was Lions, Saints, Bulldogs, was it not? You got the trifecta.
And you picked it. That was your beautiful. That was your narrative of choice.
That was a good weekend. All right, we'll delve a little bit further in what lies in store. And we'll stray, I'm sure. This is Waitley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And always ahead, the new BMW 3 Series has arrived at Doncaster BMW, the major metro dealer of the year. Bob Murphy in the studio this Thursday morning with an eye towards what's to come in round three and a broader eye toward the world of sport as well. Is Melbourne's going to run through a banner on Friday nights, the Mean Tweets banner, which has a much more serious edge for the Reach Foundation? Cyberbullying in real life, football issues. Neville Jetta was on 360 last night. He's the ambassador for Reach. He was brilliant as he took us down the path of what online racism looks like and what the reality of it is for a young man.
In my early days, I probably wasn't strong enough to actually call it out. It really did affect me. I was, when I first moved over from Perth, it would have been my first maybe 6 months at the football club. And it was one where I was only 18, 19. If someone would have said it to my face, it would have been a different story. But yeah, I was thinking about it for the next 4 weeks. And it was to a point where whether I should do something, who do I talk to, I'll just leave it because I don't want to bring any attention to myself. So it was a situation where I had to carry this for a long time and it probably did affect my performance.
Great insight from Neville Jetta.
Yeah. Oh, he was incredible and took us there and got the emotional side of it. I'm interested this footy season, Jared, and I must admit I've been blown away by how much we've seen already, but footy teams, footy clubs, I've described them before as 18 political parties. So there's a lot of brand management and there's a lot of statements and sticking to party lines and things are sort of measured and cornered. And people know when they're getting that, and then they know when people go off the script and you're getting something more authentic or something real, something that's got a bit of grit to it. And Neville spoke last night. That's real. That's the real. So my antenna is up to these sorts of things. Now, we're seeing a lot of it on the field, but when I saw this campaign, I thought, this will be interesting. So I think maybe the AFL posted the video of the Melbourne players showing the mean tweets and then them... And I go straight to the comments. Three of the first five are, oh, why don't you try, you know, why don't you win a game? That'll get rid of... Cool. Yeah, predictable. And I'm so glad they did it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So they've lost two games. That's got a bravery to it. There's a courage to that because you know the predictable answer is going to be that. It's in the view of that portion of the community, it's just got a ribbon on it. Oh, why don't you try a winning game? And then it's like, okay. So I love that they've done it now. And it does make me think, and I read into these things, maybe too much. I put my hand up. Maybe I do too much, but I sort of think that there's real strength and gumption at Melbourne that will bear fruit on the field.
Yep.
You know, sooner and maybe dominant sort of football. So
your mind has wandered from there to...
Yeah, well, there's a lot happening. There's the psychology of sport and football is always interesting, but it's the belief-o-meter or whatever, the intangibles, it's pinging all over the place. It is, you watch Gold Coast in the last quarter on the weekend, you think, wow, they believe, like they've got something. Now, why is that? I would argue that they've now got the players who are there, they know want to be there. Their captain, David Swallow, isn't sort of got an eye, got a foot out the door. So they can build something. Stuart Jew's message can get traction, those sort of things. You watch the Bulldogs on the weekend. We talked about it last night.
So you picked out the Jack McRae celebration.
Jack McRae kicks that goal, and it's a great front and centre goal, and they've got the avalanche of momentum, which is for a number of analytical reasons. They're a young, fit side. Hawthorn have got two on the bench that can't come. So there's reasons for it. They get a couple of lucky free kicks. But Jack McRae's response sat me back of thinking, well, he's an introvert. That's a different kind of behaviour from Jack. And it tells you in plain sight how much it means to him. And then you watch Tom Liberatore's goal and the players hold him on the ground and they savour the moment. Yep. They savour the moment. And then the players post that photo after the game. So that it's not, oh, that's a great photo, and but it was just a moment that was beautifully captured. No, no, no. That it's the symbol of how they're feeling at the moment. So these things are very real, but it's good and bad. So a lot has been talked about the Essendon players running off the ground, and it was right in front of us. We were calling the game, and it happened right in front of us. Now, in the moment, all we can be is judgmental and critical, really, because it just looks so odd. Now, every footballer's had moments of, you know, terrible moments and, you know, skill errors and decision-making and all those sort of things. I don't know. So this I was going to call this little segment off the script, but I've renamed it now to definitely maybe. So we don't know for sure.
Yep.
But this is a hunch.
Yep.
This is definitely maybe. So I'm looking at those Essendon players. I think when they would have been shown the footage during the week, and I only say this because this has happened to me before, it doesn't look right. You think that's not how it was in my own vision. From my own perspective, it didn't look like that at all, with fatigue and the chaos of the game and all of those things. It's like, oh my God, that looks awful. So it makes me think they've obviously got too much in their thoughts, too much happening in their decision making. So the question is it being coached? Have they got too much from the coach, or is it too much of them? Have they clouded themselves with you know, they've got themselves muddled up, as athletes can to do. All you can do is now unwind. So this is the craft and the art of good coaching and good leaders in your football club. How can you unwind? How can you unwind these players? And so I think they need to get back to the question of why. So I think that what gets players into trouble sometimes is the what. This is what I want you to do. What do you want me to do? We need you to come off the ground at the 8-minute mark. So that's the what. Yep, that's, and they get so singularly focused on that. And when you're under high stress, you get tunnel vision for that. I've got to get off the ground at the 8-minute mark. I've got to get to the expense of everything else. But why? The why is because we need to ring the changes to get the best out of our athletes. But that's not the priority. The top priority is whilst you're on the ground to play. So to keep the coaches and the lead need to keep reminding the why. This is a starting point at a stoppage, but it's really so you the best chance you can have to stop your opponent, but also help one of your teammates. And that's what. When you're struggling, that's what goes out the window. You become very sort of tunnel. And the best example I can give, when it's going well, when you are in the sweet spot of sport, you are able to, your vision actually feels like it's broader. You're able to notice things, help in more situations. Tom Hawkins running into an open goal and has the presence of mind just to, with all the chaos of football, to still go, oh, the first gamer gave me the ball. Turn around, and that's a player and a team in a good place. They're not relaxed, but they're open. They're able to make multiple decisions and not be just so stressed and singularly focused. And go back to the documentary we just watched earlier. One of the things I noticed was Collingwood players run out and the banner disintegrates,
yep,
and everyone at the ground goes, that's a metaphor. It's all, you know, you couldn't help but either laugh or think, oh, that's, you know, and the players would have run out and I'm sure would have been like, they would have had a thought. Now, I don't know how much weight they would have given to it, but Nathan Buckley comes out and the woman in the cheer squad is distraught. Now, Nathan Buckley's about to coach what he hopes to be his first premiership. And he's got the agility of his mind and thoughts to think that's one of my people distressed, and I can be of assistance to that person, so I can help. That's what you're trying to do in football. That's what clubs are about. That's why it's a gang. It's about helping people. It's about helping your teammate. That's why the emotional talk, it's about families and trust and love, those things. It's about helping each other. So Nathan Buckley, in the chaos of grand final day, on the moment when they come out, he's got the presence of mind to then go sideways to one of his people and say, move on, move on, move on.
Next thing. Great insight. Bob Murphy, he's in the studio and about to pose a question to you after the break. So to get the mind spinning this Thursday morning as we look towards footy in round three, need a delicious barista-made coffee? McCafe has got you covered. They're open 24/7. Tonight, the AFL Nation call right here on SEN Adelaide and Geelong from the Adelaide Oval from 6 p.m. Anthony Hudson, Tom Wren, Malcolm Blight and Kane Corns together. If there's any recommendation I could make to you, it's download the app, update the app, check out the app. Have a look at the squares marked with AFL Nation. Create yourself a login, which takes less than 60 seconds, no cost associated, and it gives you full freedom across the weekend to make sure the footy is with you everywhere that you go. So check out the app and make sure that it's all in place to enjoy your weekend of footy. Bob, you've got a question to pose, which we'll open the lines and take the texts after the news. Go on, tell us tell us the concept.
So last year we spoke about dried apricots, and if you put that on social media now, you get passionate, hate them, love them. So I just want to put the challenge out in a football context. Is there things in football that are just unhateable? So I would offer up the halftime Oz kickers and the little games that go on.
Yes.
That is untouchable. But I lay the challenge down to either pick a hole in that or offer something up that's unhateable, pure.
What is pure on our football landscape? I did wonder, so when I was watching on Saturday night, when Hawkins gave the goal up to Jordan Clark and my heart sang in that moment, I did think, I wonder which way this will break and I wonder which narc will be the first to go, that's too cute by half. And it's been very reassuring that not only has it been overwhelmingly positive, but even today it lingers, and Dermot Burton's written the column in the Herald Sun that it is one of the great things that he's seen in football.
Yeah, which is a huge call. I can't wait to hear someone pick a hole in the halftime Oz kickers.
So what is unhateable in the game? What is pure? What is cherished? What is beyond mean tweets? 1-300-736-736. After the news, what's unhateable in the game? 1-300-736-736. Send through your texts 0433-98-1116. So in our modern critical world, what is beyond reproach? What is simply joyful? What is beyond hate? What is unhateable in footy? The thesis put forward so far is that the Oz kickers at halftime, the counter-argument that's been put forward is the standard, Bob, is terrible.
Yeah, or you know, the kid that's not up to it, apparently. I was told facetiously, I hope.
So numerous speckies.
Yeah.
And yet, when Jordan DeGoey takes his speckie on Thursday night, the number of people who go, well, he put his hands all over his head, and where did the in the hands in the back go? So I put to you that speckies, not beyond reproach.
And we know it's first cousins of the attempted speckie.
First thing I wrote down was the torpedo. And yet, when it came time to assess the three goals of the round, the Paul Seedsman torpedo, a once-in-a-year phenomenon, was callously overlooked.
Not in the nominations.
Not in the nominations. And we discussed this on Crunch Time when we did the straw poll, and you said it's obviously the torpedo, but what will happen is the Franklin got, and sure enough, the torpedo got over. So again, I put to you, torpedo, nah. So we've struck out the Oz kids. We've struck out the Specky. We've struck out the torpedo. What is unhateable in our game? 1-300-736-736. And I've got to keep up here on 0433-98-1116. Andrew's in Selby. Hello, Andrew.
How are you, boys?
Very well.
Yeah, I think Jared Ruffhead is unhateable after he came back from cancer. Everyone loves Ruffy.
I think he would have to be the, he'd certainly be on the podium of the most loved footballers in the current game, I would think, wouldn't you? Wouldn't
yes,
you think, Jared?
And yet, late last year where there was the debate is, should he be wound up? Should he be moved on? Should he be traded elsewhere? What would he look like at Carlton?
Yeah, and he just started, Jared's a good mate of mine. He's a closet cranky man, closet cranky. And we've just, a couple of journos have sort of pushed him on, you know, this be last year, and he's bit back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's bit
didn't like
back.
That at all.
the crankiness is just starting to emerge in the public sense, which I'm really
pinching
enjoying.
Me off.
No, that's it.
Tommy's in North Carlton. Hello to you, Tommy.
G'day, boys.
G'day, Tommy.
The thing I miss the most, mate, is kick the kick after the final siren.
Well,
and it was the most unhateable thing ever.
I must say, Tommy, my thoughts when I came up with this idea, the first billing I had was the kicking on the ground after the game. But I knew straight away, people go, it damages the ground. Can't have that.
So we're not allowed to do it anymore because of the risk to the ground for the professionals.
This is the scarring, Jared, that I am a man of my time, my era, that I instinctively knew, don't say that. Because you'll get howled down by, it damages the ground, and you can't complain about Marvel Stadium, and then you get kids kicking footies to each other.
And kids get knocked over. It's a health and safety risk. What about this one? The Sharon. And yet, there is this current theory around that the Sharon has one extra layer of lacquer, which is making it unhandleable.
Yeah, so with the slipperiness of the 2019 Sharon has been called into question. And I suppose by extension, it would affect the smell of the football leather, which that's synonymous with a lot of, that's what I love about the Sharon. And I know a lot of other people, they pick up a footy and that's the first thing they do, smell it. Maybe that's affected.
Mark's in Diamond Creek. What is unhateable in the game?
G'day guys, how are you?
Very well.
I think anyone can hate it, doesn't happen enough, is the handshake at the start of the game between two blokes. Well, it looks great.
You're preaching to the choir here. I wrote a newspaper column a few years ago trying to bring back the handshake for the ceremonial ritual nature of it, the respect for competitors. Nope. Hated. that got shut down, not even nearly a majority.
Oh, we're just a satisfied minority. Good on you, Mark. 1-300-736-736. Having the national anthem played before the Anzac game or a final is unhateable, and yet there is always reviews about who sings the national anthem. Are you entitled to do that with the anthem? Mm. We've actually got way better at this, but in not too many years gone by, there were those who would call out in the silence at the end.
We haven't had that for a while, though, have we?
No, we got much better at that. They are when the MCG is profoundly silent. That is a magnificent moment. First kick, first goal is unhateable.
Oh, that's
from Waino in Pakenham.
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good. As long as you didn't do a blind turn and break team rules. See, I'm scarred. I'm already.
No U turns. Frog is in Spotswood. Hello, Frog.
G'day, boys.
What do you got?
If Magic gets back on the park this year, that'll be a great story.
That would be beautiful.
That would be really, really good.
3-time Brownlow medal winner, Bob Skilton. Yeah, that is beyond reproach.
Yeah, see, now we're getting into it. Robbie Flower.
Was his statue a good likeness, Bob's?
I'm trying to
see where I'm going. Ange is in Croydon. Hello, Ange.
Good morning, lads. It's got to be the talent and the magic and the skill from the Indigenous players. And, I'm a Port Adelaide supporter, and you know the hatred between Port and the Crows, but when I see Eddie Betts do what he does, he's amazing, absolutely amazing. And there's something about the Indigenous players that's just, you just have to watch it. You can't take your eyes off them, you know. They're just unbelievable athletes.
And hopefully we're getting to a better place with that, Ange, through the events of the past few weeks.
We live in hope.
We do. I used to love throwing coins at the blanket carriers collecting for charity at halftime. Can't do that now with the kids on the ground. See? Kids ruined the coin throwing onto the blanket. David's in Brighton. Hello to you, David.
Coming out there here. Is. Kids ruin everything.
All ruined. David, fire away.
Yeah, g'day, guys. What's unchangeable for me is when the team initially come onto the ground and they huddle in front of the banner, then they run through the banner and the theme song hits all the speakers around the ground, and I stand there as a grown adult and sing the song because I probably won't get to sing it at the end of the game. And, that's unbreakable.
It's pretty good stuff. That was on my list as well, was specifically the players singing the song arm in arm after a game, because it is kind of uniquely ours as well.
Mm. And yet when television networks break to the news before the song, there's just an outpouring of hate.
God, there's no way.
Pete's in North Bowen. Hello, Pete.
Morning, boys. I hope it hasn't come up because I missed the very start, but I think unhateable is a kick-to-kick after the game on the ground.
It's come up and it was on our list. We have forecast some problems with it, unfortunately, because we love it and we want it to continue, but there's all sorts of problems, mainly because of the kids. These damn kids.
Good on you, Pete. Colin's in Mernda. What's unhateable, Colin?
Yeah, well, mine starts off with two teams that I really don't like, Essendon and Collingwood. But the job they do on Anzac Day, you got to love them for it.
That's a strong theme coming through, isn't it? Anzac Day. What about this one? Jerry? What about the supporter who fills out the goals and behinds in the footy record? Just that specifically.
That's very pure.
I love that.
So are you just a one for a goal, one for a behind, or are you a quarter counter? So the goals in the first quarter are ones, the goals in the second quarter are threes, just to give you a nice picture of the flow of the goals.
No, I'm counting down, I'm adding up the days I've been in prison style.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, the match sticks with the one, with the line through to make it five.
I've evolved from that as a kid. Now I'm a corresponding with the quarter,
so I know the flow. Is that for?
It's for commentary.
Yeah, commentary. Yeah. Okay. Well,
sitting in the stands, I think I'm still just a stick.
Okay. So what about 72-year-old Jared going to watch the Cats?
No, I reckon once you've got your habits, you probably will be afflicted with them for good.
Stubborn.
Noel's in Altona. What's unhateable in the game, Noel?
Jared, now I hope you said, I think it actually has happened to Bob a couple of times, but the speedy Jason Johansson and Rob Murphy has taken the ball in the clear and then dashed off and they see the ground in front of them and all of a sudden from behind, a rundown, someone out of the pack just grits their teeth and takes the player down from behind. I think it works on two levels. The team with the ball, the crowd up, they're away, and the opposition supporters seeing the tackle. It doesn't happen so often now, but when it does, I think it brings everyone to their feet.
And able to leap from our seats and
so
scream.
People taking the game, yeah. You know what we don't hear anymore? Maybe this is a little metaphor for our modern life. Footy was the winner. That used to be
footy
a thing.
Footy doesn't win very often anymore, does it?
No, footy doesn't win. It's like, we won, you suck. Good. Rub his nose in it. Never. That was a good contest. Footy was the winner there. That used to be a thing.
It did. Not that long ago.
Yeah, three bites to the cherry. That's gone as well.
Thanks, Noel. Grant is in Greensboro. Hello, Grant.
Hey, I've got two for you. I reckon a perfectly executed bump. That's a good one. It's unhateable. And the first bounce, I'm not sure if it's been said, of the grand final. Just gives you that tingly feeling.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty. That is good. The opening bounce is pretty special, isn't
it? I can't remember a time when it's gone awry.
No, that's...
Kudos to our umpires, because that's a pressure-packed moment, isn't it?
There's a dark cloud to you today. You've taken on yourself to wear the black hat.
I'm trying to be the contrarian
you are doing that. And as for the perfect bump, good luck with that.
Good luck with the MRO.
Good luck with that. Because the perfect bump, you do hurt the opposition.
Yeah.
So you've got to do it without
these
bumping
days
the head.
Strict liability.
You've got to hope it doesn't whiplash. No, hope it doesn't hit the ground. Yeah. Oh, that's...
And you could get through all of that and still get nailed out the other end and pay $3,000.
Call that a hip and shoulder and a haystack, Jerry.
Good on you, Grant. Ken's in Preston. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning, gents. Trust you're all well.
We are good.
You cannot be a football lover if you hate the fact that two sides finally broke through in the last few years, namely the Bulldogs and Richmond coming through and winning a flag. You can't be a football lover.
The drought breaking. And this takes in Sydney, it takes
Geelong.
In Geelong. Yeah. That's pretty good, although the umpires robbed Sydney in the Bulldogs grand final. See where I'm coming from?
That was very good. I nearly launched across the desk there. We almost had our first blue.
Good on you, Ken. Ash is in Ashwood. Welcome, Ash.
Morning, guys. I can't. You guys might not get to appreciate this because you're probably at the ground so early, but a night game at the MCG, walking through the gardens and seeing the crowd. The crowd is coming from all angles to like moths to a flame at the MCG.
Oh, Ash.
To our very own Field of Dreams.
Oh, Ash, that is...
Yeah.
Can we get a recording of that, Ash? That is honestly, football poetry.
If we had prizes, Ash, right at the front.
Bow down to thee. That's the stuff.
That is unhateable.
I can't believe... That's so good. I'm so jealous that it wasn't mine.
Yeah, except when they do the fan experience at the start and put those ridiculous lights on, or the Carlton hovercraft gets out there and they sort of trample all over the whole thing. Yeah, the music's too loud. You can't talk to the person next to you. The PA guy won't shut up. So,
apart from all those.
Unhateable, Ash. Well done. Chris is in Berwick. Hello, Chris.
No, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent.
I want to go back in the day. I'm a Carlton man, never missed a game. I'm in my late 60s. And we used to love going to Western Oval. For one reason, we always got beaten there, but that was no good. But the Hyde Street Band at halftime marching around with the blanket behind, people throwing coins, and half the Hyde Street Band, their uniforms didn't fit.
They used to be the old... You keep going.
Yeah, and before we left home, the old man used to say, "Now, Mum, have we got change to throw into the blanket?" So it's just a very fond memory of mine.
Beautiful.
Could we, Jared? So there's lots of stuff coming through. In the retro round, could we get fair dinkum about this? Actually put a bit more detail into it.
Trench coats for the goal.
Bring the meow siren back. Bring the blanket back. Just the little touches. Let a dog on the ground when... Okay, maybe not. All right, we'll go. You see where I'm going with it, though.
The peanut man.
Peanut man. That was
They do that at Dodger Stadium so well with the peanuts.
I think for one round, just embrace it. Embrace it.
Nick and Ascot Vale sent through Kiss Cam. No,
Kiss Cam.
You can't hate the 4-20 pie. That's from Vince, the pie and sauce.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But I don't. I'm a no sauce man on the pie.
You're no sauce.
So I'm now going to wear. Are you serious? Give us that black hat and give it over here. That's no place.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, no, I'm a no sauce guy. Bring it. Talk about the hate. Bring on the. For that.
That is a revelation. 0433 98 11 16. Your calls. What is unhateable in the game, even in this era where everything gets analysed and scrutinised within an inch of its life? More with Bob Murphy after the break. We'll look towards a couple of games in round three. Tonight it begins with the AFL Nation call on SEN Adelaide and Geelong from 6. Hutto and Tom Wren with Malcolm Blight and Kane Corns. Tomorrow night I'll be at the G with Gary Lyon and Jack Gunston, along with Hutto for Melbourne and Essendon, and Crunch Time from 11 on Saturday. Derm, Kane and Bob to assess all that takes place between essentially now and then. Make sure you've got the app on the phone. Create yourself a login and you'll be drowning in choices across the footy weekends. What's unhateable in the game?
Not much, apparently.
The joy of a cup of hot chips. And what it brings to an 8-year-old's face. Cal, when you show up at the G and you realise your seats are just undercover and the row of people in front of you are getting drenched. That's nice.
That's good, but it is tinged with a fair bit of hate.
Yes. Chris Fagan is unhateable, but how long will that last when they start smashing sides?
See, we're all scarred.
Yeah. Mike Brady during grand final week, unhateable. They did keep him out of the grand final for a lot of years.
I would have gone more specifically just the song up there, Kazali. Yep.
Jack Higgins kicking a snag, and yet when he kicked last year's goal of the year, everyone debated whether it was a throw.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it.
Jeremy Howe hanger is unhateable. That's from James. We refused to give him mark of the year, and that was on a public vote.
And also his name needs another syllable.
The call of ball is unhateable from Joey, except when the player didn't have the ball. Sit down.
Prior opportunity, no.
Trotter's in Brisbane. Hello, Trotter.
Yeah, g'day, Jared and Bob. How are we?
Excellent.
We were good. Now we're just a bit, I'm a bit jaded.
Hey guys, my unhateable relates to the after the game kick to kick with the kids, but it relates to the second siren. When the second siren sounds and indicates that you can enter the field, and the foot race out to who can make it out to the centre circle the quickest.
That's funny.
That is good. That is really good.
Good on you, Trotter. Oh, hot jam donuts. You had me at hello there.
Yeah, that's you. That's we're on. We are right behind that.
Jared's on the road. Hello, Jared.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Yeah, my old unhateable is when the captain at quarter time and third quarter time would go up to the umpires and question their sometimes dodgy decisions.
Especially when they were sent by the coach. Go over there.
Let's not forget.
And dispute it with them.
Leon Cameron once told Kellen Ward to do that, and he went over and was having a chat to the umpires and got quiet, you know, and got into it. And then after a while, one of the umpires said, Kel, we're the boundary umpires, mate. He went to the wrong bun.
That's grand. John in North Sydney, what's unhateable in footy?
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good.
We're good.
I think this is one everyone would love is Neil Danaher and what he's done for MND.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's unhateable.
That's
can't pick that a hole in that.
That might be the high watermark. The high frozen watermark.
kept you for last, John. Well done. Brian's in Box Hill. What do you got?
Just one word, boys. Buddy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Watching him the other night, I had this little, and I said it out loud, I thought, oh, we're going to miss him when he's gone. Like, he's getting to the, you know, he's in the twilight almost, think, oh, well, he's not, you know, and sometime he won't be there as all the players are, but it was that little moment of like, oh, geez, we'll miss him when he's not around. What a player.
What did Dermot write this morning? Eddie Betts, it appears that he's a smidgen past his best. And when I read that, I thought,
oh, no.
If that's true,
yeah,
and it probably is, that's a bit sad. Was that Brian? So I'm up to Darren in Sunbury. Hello, Darren.
G'day, lads. I've actually just thought of another one, and I tuned in late, so I don't know if either of these have been done.
You're right,
but I'll
away.
Give you a small. The addition is the premiership poster.
Oh,
I think they're brilliant.
The premiership
every year.
Poster. Good. Have you got a second
but
one?
But my main one was growing up as a kid in the 80s, which was a pretty prominent thing, which you don't see too often now is the after a win driving home from the G, the scarf out the window.
Scarf out the window. You have nailed it, Darren. What a double. That, in fact, that requires a little. We'll just back over that in a moment. Chris McKenzie has the SEN News headlines. Thanks, Chris. So it's been reassuring, actually, the past 20 minutes or so.
The callers have been reassuring.
Yeah.
You're just. Tinges of hate and negativity has been concerning.
I did forget, with the hot chips for the 8-year-old and the pie with sauce, of course, that's assuming you're not paying for it. What's unhateable? So the scarf out the window, brilliant.
That.
Every now and then when you're driving home from a night game, there'll be a scarf of the losing team hanging out the window.
Yeah.
And that's the parents in the front, the 8-year-old in the back, and you just go, yeah, do whatever you like.
It's probably five.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, put it out the window, don't worry.
Yeah, it's fine. Who's it going to hurt anyone?
Oh, no, there'll be a few people who'll howl at us on the way home. The wig poster, now the night poster. I always had it in my mind that the culmination of your team winning the premiership would be getting the wig poster and putting it in the window at home. So, and it was everything I hoped that it would be. So each year that Geelong won the premiership, and what I learned was you're premiers for a long time.
Yep.
So on that night, the wig poster went in the window, and bless Claire who let me do this. I still don't know how it stayed until grand final morning the next year, because you are premiers
until you are no longer
premiers.
Until the absolute end.
So for 3 years and
we know how many you won. That's unnecessary.
Yes, quite right. One of the years that it was in the Hawthorn stretch, one of our neighbours clearly popped a Hawthorn poster in our letterbox which I did duly hang in the window for a week, just as recognition. Yeah,
that's the metric.
Yeah,
that's the week.
And for whatever reason, the Bulldogs premiership poster hung on the back of our front door for months.
Yeah, right.
Because that just moved me.
There's a house in my neighbourhood, so I'm in the inner north where all hipsters go to die, and there is a there is a house that's still got the Bulldogs poster in there. Kind of always just, oh, there you go, still there, hanging in.
Last couple. Paul's on the road. What do you got, Paul?
Well, I'm going to say the footy record now, and there are hundreds of thousands of people that make it part of their routine to get that footy record and to keep just the goals and behinds of their side. I've got a memory, and I ran out of space after Jason Dunstall had kicked 18 goals. I didn't have enough space to mark him off the number of goals behind to kick that day. There was another day where Buddy, and you remember this, where Buddy kicked 17 points against the Bulldogs. Do you remember that one?
It sounds like a lot. I don't know if it was 17. You kicked a lot.
Yeah, it was something. It was 16, Rob. It was at Etihad.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, 11. Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe it. But I love the record. Yeah. We need to have an old school footy day. Everyone goes back. Bring back umbrellas. Bring
this
back
is great call. Bring back retro round. But let's get serious about it, Jared.
Yeah, that's not bad. I've forgotten who it is, but a mate of mine has the record fully filled in from the Ablett Salmon Day and went down to the rooms and got each of them to sign it.
Wow.
Yeah. Trying to remember
not
who that is.
Much of a footy memorabilia guy, but that's a good beer. That's good. I hope it's crumpled too.
Daisy's in Bendigo. What do you got, Daze?
How you going, boys? How are you?
Good, good.
Probably the things that always is unhateable about footy is blokes like you blokes.
I'm pretty sure you'd get pushed back the other way, but that's very kind.
Nah.
Yep, no, he said it. That's accepted. Good, moving on. I love it.
I've got to work Saturdays, so in my job I work Saturdays every Saturday. But then on the chance that I get a Saturday off and I get a chance to go to the footy, listening to footy programs like this is perfect. But Bob, you shook my hand a couple of years ago. I tossed the coin at a Dogs Brisbane game a couple of years ago, and mate, I was actually managed to get Jordan Roughhead socks after the game, and those socks were some of the luckiest socks I've ever had.
So you wore them?
That's great.
I wore them for 4 years straight, and I won three premierships in them. But mate, every time I see Collingwood now on the tally, and I see the 23 run arounds in the Collingwood, I just want to rip those socks up and burn them.
Oh no!
Such a good call, Daisy.
Nah, you just opened. You might get another pair of socks.
Well done. Should I balance it out with the first text of the morning?
Yeah. Go.
I think I should. Shouldn't
I? Go.
So I'm not sure I'd even had a chance to speak and say good morning before I lobbed. You are so bad to listen to. Thanks for ruining my SEN experience every day at 9 a.m. I'll tune back in at 12. Good morning.
Okay, so our last caller. So
just
not
to
so
balance
much.
Up what with Daisy? Yeah. Any fair to not represent so much. Both sides? Sean's in Chelsea Heights. Hello, Sean.
Thanks for taking the call, guys. I guess for me, I'm an Adelaide supporter, but Sean Smith's mark in 1995 was just iconic of football for me and why the game is so different to everything else in the world.
Unhateable.
Yeah, unhateable.
Last two. David in Greensboro. Hello, David.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. The Anzac Day post.
The last post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been a popular vote getter today.
Yeah. Except when they miss a note. Just a little bit flat. Pressure on the bugler.
You are just too much.
And Luke is in Werribee. Luke, you're our last on what's unhateable in the game.
G'day, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. The unhateable for me is when you go to the footy and you see an older fella, he's wearing the old woolen jumper with the VSL logo on it, and it's got the collar sticking out and the guts to fill it out too. So I think you can hate that.
Love it. I'll go you even one better.
Yep.
My kids go to school in West Garth, and there was a young girl the other day who rocked up to school in a genuine Kenny Hunter duffel coat, Carlton, with the it's the original with the badges, and I don't think she realised just how good it was. I almost took
That's
it off her.
Great. All right, I got one more. So Kevin Murray came through a few times in keeping with that. Absolutely right. So I love Sweet Caroline at quarter time at the SCG. I don't know why.
Because it's one of the great
pop
songs.
But it's a Sydney thing.
Yeah,
so did you notice in the tumult at Marvel at quarter time on Saturday, Essendon and St Kilda, in the seething tension, they played Sweet Caroline. You go, A, ripping off an idea, no good. No. B, not now.
Yeah, not now.
Not now. No, Essendon supporters are on the brink of lynching the coach. Don't be singing Sweet Caroline.
Play Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds when you're down by that much.
I love Sweet Caroline. I especially like it when they're a bit slow to go and they have to wait. So they refuse to blow the siren. So the umpires will be standing in the middle sometimes while Sweet Caroline's still going because they didn't get to it earlier.
So I remember asking you last year, I said, why is it? What? And you set me straight and go, it doesn't matter. Nah. Don't look too far. It's good because it's a bit like.
I accept that's not going to be a popular opinion, by the way. Just stay till after the break. So you're going to crystal ball for us and just flag one game for round three. Put it on notice, knowing that we'll come together on crunch time on Saturday to further these things. Great stuff. Fantastic playing along. See, there's a lot that's to be celebrated in the game.
Callers were good. You were negative.
Whateley for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and always ahead. The new BMW 3 Series has arrived at Doncaster. BMW, the Metro Dealer of the Year.